Welcome to the St. Ninians Community Church Lent Podcast. Thanks for listening. My name's Josh Reeve. And today we're going to be reflecting together on Genesis 18, verses 1 through to 15. So let me read that. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Well, we love to be the hero of a story, don't we? We love to be the hero. When we read a story, we like to insert ourselves in as the hero of the piece. And we like to do that, I think, when we read a Bible story like this. We often tend to identify ourselves with the person of faith in the story. And in this story, you see Abraham, the man of faith, running to get things ready to be hospitable to his guests. But you see Sarah, an anti-hero, who laughs at the promise of God and doesn't believe it. And I think we do that with a lot of stories in the Bible, don't we? We read the story of Exodus and we see Moses, the man of faith, leading his people out of Egypt versus grumbling Israel. And of course, we insert ourselves into that passage as Moses, the man of faith. We want to be the person of faith, not grumbling Israel. We read the story of David and Goliath and we think, oh, well, we're like David. We're people of faith and we're battling giants of disbelief. And we insert ourselves in as the hero of the piece. But I think often maybe we're meant to see ourselves as the anti-hero, the small person, the person who struggles to have faith, the person who grumbles, the person who's caught up in sin, whose life isn't together. Maybe when we read these stories, we should see ourselves as the anti-hero. In this piece, Sarah is the anti-hero. She and Abraham are given a promise that they'll have a son, but she's well past childbearing age. This is a promise that's just so unbelievable. She laughs out loud. How can it possibly be true? And we're even told in the passage what her response should have been, what the response of faith required. God says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's the response that Sarah should have given. That's what she should have said. When the God who created the universe gives you a promise, of course he can deliver it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But you see, from Sarah's very human perspective, this is just a promise that's too good to be true. She has longed all her life for a child, a little one to love and care for, a son to care for her in her old age. In her ancient Near Eastern culture, no doubt she endured shame in her community because she hadn't produced an heir. And now, just as she's well advanced in years and has finally come to terms with her own fate, that she's too old to have a son and will never have heirs, she gets this unbelievable, too good to be true promise that she'll have a son. And it's just such an unbelievable, wonderful promise that she can't believe it. She laughs. You know, one of the things I love about the storyline of the Bible is that God keeps making these unbelievable, too good to be true promises to people, and he keeps delivering them. The promise he made to Sarah, he fulfilled, despite her lack of faith, despite her disbelief and laughter. He showed her unbelievable favor, and she did bear a son. And in this Lenten season, as we reflect on God's greatest promise to humankind, we see his unbelievable promise that he would send a savior to redeem the world of sin and shame and brokenness and bring us back into the perfect relationship with God that we were designed for. And as we reflect on that too good to be true promise, I think very often we can be the anti-hero of our own story, a bit like Sarah. We just can't believe it's true. Deep down in our core, there are moments where we just can't believe that this could be true. And like Sarah, we laugh. Maybe like me, sometimes you've had doubts like this. Does God really love me? I'm too small and insignificant for God to care about. Surely God has more important things than me to worry about. Or maybe, does God really love me? There's no way that can be true. I'm too great a sinner. My life is too much of a mess. I'm too broken. I get things wrong too much. Does God really want to know me? Does he really want to be in relationship with me? I'm too ugly. I'm too far gone, too broken. I've made such a mess of my life. Surely he doesn't want to know me. He wants to know a good person, someone who has life together. This promise of God that he loves me and that he would send a savior to redeem me, it's too good to be true. But you know, friends, when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, when we look at the cross and see that our Father in heaven did not hold back even his own son, but sent him to die in our place, to suffer the punishment we deserve for all our sin, all our shame, all our brokenness. When we see the lengths that God would go to bring us back, I think, like Sarah, we should laugh. We should laugh. But friends, don't let it be a laugh of scorn and disbelief like Sarah's laugh. Will you look at the cross in this Lenten season and see the depth of God's love for you on the cross? Will you see his fulfilled promise to redeem you, to forgive you, and laugh a laugh of pure joy that you are God's beloved child? Let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that your love for us is so great that you made that unbelievable, too good to be true promise to bring us back, to buy us back from our sin and shame and all our brokenness, and to bring us back into relationship with you, the perfect relationship that we were designed for from the beginning. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much. Help us to believe it. Help us not to laugh in scorn or doubt it. Help us to live with pure joy that we are your children.